Hours with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the races, hour three, weekend preview. James Scully, Kentucky Derby Report. Good morning. James?
We had three Kentucky Derby prep races last weekend, and I've got two scheduled for tomorrow. So definitely came away impressed by Authentic's performance, a little bit skeptical, Steve, of more pace pressure and longer distances for him. But he has definitely done everything right so far. And I did like the fact, I thought, you know, Storm the Court was really under a rod from the start, and he couldn't keep up with him. So even though Authentic hasn't really been blazing the way on the front end in his races, especially the Sham where he went 47 and change, I do think he's very quick. He's plenty quick, and, you know, he's going to be on the engine in the Santa Anita Derby and a possible pace setter in the Kentucky Derby.
Walk back through the field. What do we expect moving forward from everybody else?
Yeah, I'll be really, I think the top two are supposed to come back into the Santa Anita Derby, and obviously that will be a major race for Honor AP because he had not run since the middle of October, broke his maiden really impressively that day, but that was only his third start on Saturday. And I really like the move he made. Authentic was out there all alone. He responded when asked on the far turn, rolled up there, got up close to Authentic, and while he didn't go by him, and he arguably, you know, weakened a little bit in the final furlong, that was a huge effort off the shelf. If he continues to move forward, be looking for a big race from him in the Santa Anita Derby. Storm the Court is really in a great shot to make the Derby field with 32 points to his credit. That might be enough right now, and if he runs fourth in his final prep, he'll pick up another 20 points or 10 points and would be in great shape and a fourth or better. And a little bit of like he really hadn't moved, gone on from that Breeders' Cup juvenile upset. Tough to get too excited about him, even going at longer distances as well. And I'll echo what Jay said about 1,000 Words. I mean, I still think that horse has potential moving forward, but I don't think it will be this spring. He just didn't show any run after the opening stages of that race in the San Felipe. And it looks like a horse that Baffert could regroup upon and maybe make a big push later in the year. Now, he will get another chance and another prep, probably the Bluegrass or Wood Memorial. So he'll have an opportunity there, but definitely did not like his race.
I will only say that the attempt to keep him that much closer to the pace was just not, as far as I'm concerned, not what he wants, and it's not the kind of horse he is. He's a horse that you just settle and you let him grind out the 24 and change quarters. We've been talking about this since December, and you're not going to mess with that. You're not going to ask him to suddenly go, 22 and 4, 23 flat. That's not what this horse is. Just let him settle, let him grind away, and you'll be fine. And, that just the natural talent alone got him where he's been. So I would rely on that. And he's only going to need, what has he got, 25 points. So essentially, in a 100-point race, he probably only needs to even be third or fourth to make the Derby.
Especially with some favorites win these upcoming races. If Authentic and Tisalaw and others were to keep on winning, the threshold for making the field point-wise, when you have a whole bunch of different winners of the preps, it tends to go up. But when you have a lot of repeat winners, it tends to be lower.
How about the other two races? Give us a
little bit. King Guillermo, I thought, was awesome in the Tampa Bay Derby. Really just, came ready to run. He sat up close to the pace setter, Relentless Dancer. When asked, leaving the turn, he just stormed to the lead, won convincingly. That gallop out was you know, I mean, everybody was talking about it. It was incredible how strong he galloped out all the way through the turn. And, you know, he's by Uncle Mo, who's a Derby winner. He does have a bunch of, like, immediate relatives that were stakes winners, either on turf or synthetics. Made sense. They tried the grass in his second start after he didn't run well sprinting on dirt. And he won by 6 1/4 lengths wire to wire on the turf last year. So showed good speed that day. He was favored in the pulpit stake against Sol Vellante, ran third on November 30th. And, you know, after the race, Juan Avila, they could easily turn around and run him 4 weeks later in a race like the Bluegrass and then come back 4 weeks later in the Derby. But he said he'll probably look to train him up to the race, given how well he ran off the layoff. A couple things with that. You know, every horse in the Derby, like since like 2000, the last 20 winners, all ran off a six-week or less layoff. And I don't know how far back to look for this, but every winner, like in my lifetime, has at least had a race at a mile and an eighth under them. And King Guillermo will only have a mile and a 16th race. Sol Vellante did run second. I'll say this about his trip. He was way back early in a 12-horse field. He actually had to negotiate his way through traffic a little bit going into the far turn. I think that benefited him, that experience. Finished full of run in his Sam F. Davis race. We gave him a 108 versus net late pace rating. He got the same number in the Tampa Bay Derby, finishing a clear second. It was a case where, you know, coming both, you know, Authentic and King Guillermo looked great winning those races. I don't know about their chances in the Kentucky Derby. A person could make the case that Honor AT and Sol Vellante were the two horses from last weekend. They both ran second, but might have the best chance down the road going a mile and a quarter on May 2nd.
Well, we've seen.
And Mischievous Alex, you know, I know his status is a little bit up in the air. They're going to run him in the Wood Memorial. But, I mean, you know, there's at least a chance he could hit the board. Horses like Trojan Nation, Battalion Runner, Restoring Hope have all hit the board in the Wood Memorial in recent years. With it and the Bluegrass becoming grade twos, I think the Bluegrass is a little bit more of a appealing spot for owners. And there's a potential that field won't be that deep in the Wood Memorial, and Mischievous Alex could be out there pushing the pace in the Kentucky Derby if he runs decently there.
Yeah, we spent so much time, you know, looking at that field and just, you know, having a, you know, a sense that the vast majority were, you know, were going to be one turn horses. We're going to continue to be one turn horses. You know, that was the, you know, the feeling kind of going in. So,
yeah. And, you know, basically redoing the track there and taking away a mile and a 16th races at Aqueduct, making that Gotham. I think this was the third year. It's been a one turn mile. It's changed a little bit. It really has opened up that avenue to, mile or sprinter types that a lot of people lamented was gone when the point system came into effect.
Let's turn our attention to this weekend and start at either of the point venues, and we'll start to do some capping.
Yeah, I'll start right with the big race at Oaklawn, the Rebel Stakes, $1 million. Obviously, I think, you know, Nick Dahl is just such a wild card in there. I think, you know, he's supremely talented, looks like a supremely talented horse. And to me, Joel Rosario definitely would love to see, I think, no parole crossover. No Parole has a ton of speed. He's in, like, post five. I think if he breaks out there and crosses over and gets in front of him and the Dahl can set up shop, like, in second or third right to his outside, he's definitely capable of winning that race. The horse that intrigues me, if Nadal does falter, and part of the reason why is because not only do you have both him and No Parole with some early speed, but Basin could be showing speed as well off the layoff. So we run three sprints so far, and, you know, have some tactical speed is Three Technique. And it's just because I like his closing kick after a bad start in the Smarty Jones and expect him to be running late tomorrow at Oaklawn.
What else we like?
Well, I mean, I thought both the undercard stakes came up, you know, where, you know, the front-running favorite is going to be awfully tough. Definitely Serengeti Empress. I think it's a good group of distaffers this year. And that race, the Azari, looks like that could just be her turn to win. I will say in the Essex handicap, Pioneer Spirit's going to be the horse to beat because could get out there on the front end and just dominate. But I am a little bit intrigued, at least from a multi-race perspective, with Guess Sweet, because he's 30-1 on the morning line. That was a strong showing, I thought, in the mud too back in the fifth season when he rallied off of a moderate pace that day. Could get that same setup in the, and on off track tomorrow, and he's one to at least look at if you're playing straight exotics.
All right.
And I'll turn to Turfway and start with the big race there, the Jeff Ruby Stakes, got a field of 12. To me, I didn't think the race came up with that much speed, Steve. And, you know, Invader has just run such two big back-to-back races. Obviously, this will be a class check, stepping up to face better horses than he did in the Battaglia Memorial. But I'm not too worried about the outside post. He broke his maiden from post 10. Someone at Hot Brown won the race last year from post 10 on the front end. And I just see Invader getting a perfect trip to the outside of, like, Fancy Laker, who'll probably go from the inside with Florent Giroux. And I'm going to have to give him the edge in the Jeff Ruby Stakes.
It's, you know, it, I asked Mike Battaglia, just because it whenever you get to this race, it's always a mix and match, you know. There's horses coming from all directions, getting a shot, and turf and other synthetics. You got horses coming from, you know, out of a race like the El Camino Real. You've got, you know, maiden winners, allowance winners, dirt, turf. So it always makes for a, you know, an interesting mishmash when you're building tickets. Who else has got a shot in here?
Well, I Invader's a slight favorite, but I do think Field Pass will be favored. Obviously, Iran Ortiz coming in to ride him. People will gravitate towards that. But also, trip handicappers will, you know, like him off at Dania Beach. You know, I thought he got checked slightly in upper stretch, had to go in, out, in again, and then split horses to win. That was an awesome race off the way off for Mike Maker. Definitely can't be dismissed from contention. Finnick the Fierce shows a half-mile bullet work over the track. He's going to be running late. He'd be a horse that I would use if I think there, if the pace collapses and somebody wins it from off of it, I like Finnick the Fierce.
Well, and of course has to deal with the eyesight issue, but it's a fun, not just a fun race. It's a great card. What else are we doing at Turfway tomorrow?
All right, I'll just I'll work my way backwards. Race number 10, Suburban at Oak. You know, I don't think that this race came up that tough. You know, Lord White is obviously looks tough for Peter Miller in there off of two straight turf stakes wins at Santa Anita. Went was sprinting last time, but did go the same one-mile trip that two back in the Blue Norther that she'll go tomorrow in the Bourbon and Oaks. But a horse I would like, that I will use like in any pick three, pick four, pick fives, is this Mama's Gray Ghost. And I just mentioned a little bit about her. She's the one horse in race 10. She's 20-1 on the morning line. She's coming off a 3.25 length maiden win at Laurel Park. You know, probably, you know, wasn't a real strong field or the fastest time. But she is a half-sister to Indy Ann, who won the Grade 2 Thoroughbred Club of America by open lens on the Poly Track at Keeneland in 2008. And that was a very, I thought, you know, it was a convincing win. She's eligible to get the right trip from the rail. Doesn't look like a lot of pace in that race. And I thought that if she got out there on the front end, she could potentially get brave with huge odds, Steve.
Hmm. All right, what else?
The race before that is it's a good race. The Kentucky Cup Classic has a lot of the top contenders in outside post, Signal Man, someone like at Hot Brown, Lanier, Blended Citizen. Yeah, you can make a case, I think, for you know, several of those horses. But the horse I landed on is number 3 nonetheless. He's making his third start here off the layoff tomorrow. He's defending champ in this race. He's 9-2 on the morning line. He loves Turfway. 3-4. Really good return effort in that 4-0. This was a little bit too short for him. So I look for him to run a real big race, and I just like his chances to get a ground-saving trip from that inside post.
All right. Right. Highlight them. What else?
The race number 8 is the Rush Away for 3-year-olds, Mama 16. I mean, to me, the one horse for Pinnacle Peak, Crypto Pass, definitely won't be surprised if he wins. He can sit an inside trip with Corey Lanner. He looks really tough off back-to-back wins. The last one on the turf at Churchill. I will look to include, though, horse like Memorable. Last time out, didn't fire in that Texas Turf Mile. Josh Dillon, you know, not saying he's the toughest company in this race. I think he has the chance to get a good outside, you know, stalking trip. And, you know, he looked really good winning allowance race there, two back by three lengths. So those are the two I'd look at it in the rush away.
There you go. And
I got one more Kentucky Cup for you today at Oakland Park, Steve. Race number two, number 10, Parole E. Number 10, Parole E. He's second start there, third last time. He's going to prove off that effort. He's by Minister's Wildcat. He isn't a good sire, but he's 19% on the mud. His offspring run better on off tracks. Solid third last time. He'll improve to the one on the morning line, Parole E.
Parole, very good in the second today. Well, let's hope, James, let's hope we keep things
yeah,
going.
I mean, it's impossible to predict, and I was listening to Jay, you know, he may be taking out a racing tan, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, hope so. Hope we keep everybody healthy, and We're very quickly becoming the only game in town. So, from day to, we'll take it day by day. James Scully, everybody, James_Scully111, and at the TwinSpires blog roll, of course, as well, with plenty of analysis and Kentucky Derby report recapping and more. Thanks, James. Good luck this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thanks.
James Scully. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour. And we got Ed DeRosa. Yet to come. We'll talk to Ed next. Back up this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Want an online tournament that boasts no rake, skim, or takeout with a $10,000 first prize? Here it is. Play ExpressBet Live online Saturday, March 21st. ExpressBet Live is for account holders only, with no registration or other pesky fees. Simply make a live $20 wager on one horse in 10 competition races. Earn the most and collect $10,000. Plus, there's from $1,000 to $4,000 in additional prizes. The top 30 finishers automatically qualify for the $50,000 ExpressBet Showdown. Sweep the card and earn a juicy $5,000 bonus. Don't have an ExpressBet account? Visit ExpressBet.com today and qualify for a $100 bonus. Then register free for ExpressBet Live, the best tournament value going. Play live online with ExpressBet Saturday, March 21st, and it could be your day, but only if you play. Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Public Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
He called me baby, 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 all night long. Used to hold and kiss me till the dawn. Then one day, and he was gone. There's no more baby, baby, all night long. He called me baby, baby.
Well, it's Casey. Catches the note that March 13th, this Friday the 13th, Candy Staten's 79th birthday. Happy birthday, Candy. She's terrific. And I think still, I think still performing at, you know, close to 80. Ed DeRosa will still be performing, I bet, at, you know, as he approaches octogenarian status. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. unless I hit big, I'll probably be needing to work, let alone perform. But that's the great thing about racing. It's definitely a lifetime endeavor.
Well, and we'll look forward to one of those tweets. I'm here at at the Shady Hill Nursing Home to see what their banana pudding is all about.
It's coming.
You have to forgive me, Ed, if I'm just a little bit, you know, punch drunk here after about as arduous a week.
What a 15 hours of radio, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's
and that's just on air, let alone the preparation I know you do in lining up guests, et cetera. So. It is not underappreciated by me, Steve.
Thank you, Ed. I leave it in the hands of everybody that cycles through. And on that note, I mean, we got the last 20 minutes of the week, but you know, everybody that has contributed with insights has been, you know, just invaluable. The gut reactions and the where you go from here kinds of discussions, and I'll give you a pass at it as well. Some thoughts on your end.
I mean, that's nothing too different, so I'll keep it short, you know, from what a lot of people have said, but you know, this time just feels different. People are likely to go to prison, which is, you know, certainly a different type of punishment than, you know, the fine and suspension type of thing. And, you know, I do think the cliches apply, wake up call, et cetera. I mean, Gary Young's article, to see that from 2001, I mean, party, you can't help but laugh. These are just issues you're always going to face in a game that has that unique combination of taking an edge can make you better, the ego factor, the hubris of getting away with something, all that, the money, it all conspires when it comes to racing. It's just that very unique environment. And unfortunately, you know, the scruples aren't always there, but I'm thankful for, you know, anyone who makes the effort to clean it up and make us better going forward. So that's what I'm hoping for.
Well said. Well said. Some impressions about the racing last week. I think feels like there's pretty uniform thoughts about Tampa Bay Derby and the way that turned out, as well as what the Gotham is going to produce. And I think there's a consensus that the West Coast horses are the ones that, you know, other than maybe Tis the Law, particularly, that they're the ones that, you know, are going to have a strong hand by the time we get to wherever Derby, when and wherever right. Derby's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know, I thought the San Felipe was good for the top two, and sort of reminds me of the dynamic there with maybe what we'll see in the Rebel, which we'll get to in a moment. You know, the big news for me out of the Tampa Bay Derby is I don't know what it is about this race. I guess sort of that tweener spot on the calendar, that horses who perform well out of that race just decide they're going to go straight to the Derby. I ate a lot of crow on betting against the Apollo Curse. You know, Justify made a mockery of that, but I feel probably just as strongly about this path from Tampa with the 8 weeks rest and going from 8.5 to 10 versus the usual 9, or even in the case of the Louisiana Derby this year, 9.5 to 10 furlongs. It just doesn't seem like a move that ever has a horse ready to win a race like the Derby. So, you know, the aftermath to me of the Tampa Bay Derby more important. And I thought the runner-up, being Cone's horse, ran well, and I'm not giving up on him, but the San Felipe was the top race to me.
Well, and one of the discussions that, you know, we heard a lot of going into Tampa was, you know, that Sol Volante, people talk about the trip horse concept and how, you know, everything has to go right for a horse like that. And almost everything went right. I mean, it took a big performance from the winner to stop Sol Volante from parlaying the Sam Davis into a Tampa Bay double. I thought Jay's pointing out, you know, the Sol Volante, if you liked him before, you have no reason not to like him going forward. And, you know, again,
yeah,
is one of these horses. I'm trying to think of, he's like a fly down, or was it dialed in? When I'm thinking about Nick, that had to pass like 18 horses, you know, if you're going to be, early, you know, at the back of the pack, early in the Derby, you're dealing with issues. And the last few years, I mean, what, other than Orb, how many horses have come from, you know, from far back in recent Derby? You know, we talk so often about what's happened to sprinters and how they just have disappeared from the lineup, you know, from the Derby lineup because of the point system. So we'll see. I mean, it does feel like there are, from where we're headed, that there are a few front end type runners making their way toward that Derby field. So it, you know, without knowing what we're going to end up with, this might not be a terrible year to be a horse that, you know, that needs to pass them all.
Yeah, no, I was kind of thinking that too. You know, with the running styles we've seen from Authentic and potentially here in the Rebel, some front running types, and you know, it's interesting as we go on, and other than Tis the Law, no one's really wowed us this year in a points race anyway. Independent Tall stock seemingly is kind of gotten a boost. You know, the horse who beat him, the Sam F. Davis, after that torrid pace, came back and ran okay. But I mean, I guess the issue with Independent Tall is there does look like plenty of pace in here, but you know, if that Sam F. Davis ends up being sort of the Derby trip, then no reason to give up on Sol Volante either.
Some other, anything else from last week?
No, I don't think so. Just, you know, looking forward to seeing how the next weeks play out, not only on the track, but Country Rise as well. And, you know, I think as a Derby handicapper, for those who love that particular puzzle, you know, it probably is time to at least, you know, donate a little bit of time to think of, okay, well, who benefits from, you know, if this thing gets pushed back, and, you know, how is, you know, just the machinations there, because, you know, these horsemen are going to have to, you know, maybe adapt to. And it's just another wrinkle in one of the more difficult handicapping puzzles of the year anyway. So, you know, I don't see any problem with starting to think about it now.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I say that as a handicapper, by the way, not as a Churchill employee. I have no information, but, you know, as someone who sees this as your shot at a five-figure payday in the super with some regularity, I think it's important to, you know, be thinking about all the variables that could be in play.
True. All right, let's start some handicapping. And I just retweeted, Turfway just sent out specifics about ticket cashing and refunds for those that bought tickets for tomorrow and so forth. So they just sent that for anybody that doesn't, you know, that was headed up to, were you going to go tomorrow?
No, I'm at Oaklawn.
Oh, that's right. You were going there. That's right. You told me that last week. Nice. All right, let's dive in.
Well, really compelling Rebel. Seems odd that last week we were talking about maybe splitting. Not sure what happened there, but I think they got certainly the right top half of the field. Interesting race with Nadal being the likely favorite. I think we'll see lower than 2-1. I'm going to try to beat him. It's a big ask. Two-turn debut, shipping. Might get some wet weather as well. I just think the price will be better on others. And I'm very bullish on No Parole. I see no chance we get 8-1. This horse is not going to be the sixth choice. But I would take half that. I think maybe some people will be concerned, A, with where he's been running, B, gate to wire in all three efforts, so he sort of has the look of maybe a need the lead type, but I have full confidence that this horse can sit and kick, maybe get the jump on the rest with Nadal and Basin in front of him. If you look at his Brisnet pace ratings from the last race where he laid over the field, he actually did relax on the front end. He had his lowest early pace and then kicked on strongly for home based on the late pace rating. And usually with, you know, the gate to wire winners, you don't see that kind of acceleration late. I'm guessing Graham rode perfectly to instructions, was able to learn something about how he could relax early. And that's what I'm expecting in the Rebel. I don't think he's going to try to blitz this field with Nadal on the rail. I'd be thrilled with 4-1. I think this horse is a legitimate contender, not only this weekend, but down the road.
Hmm. Who else?
Silver Prospector I like of the Steves, and this is kind of why this time of year is so interesting, Steve, because I'm high on Basin. I have a lot of respect for his talent. I've actually played him in two of the future wagers to date. This just doesn't feel like the time to me, a shortish price off the layoff. And I hinted at sort of my thinking when I referenced the Stan Philippe. Honor AP definitely gave some recency edge to Authentic, who was awesome in the lane. I mean, Honor AP was not winning, ran great for second, can definitely move up off that. And that might be a similar situation with Basin here. I'm expecting him to run well. Hope he can build off it. Would love to see my future wager ticket gain some equity. Just seems like this is a big ask with the field that showed up. So I do like Silver Prospector. And Steve has three in there, but the two contenders, Silver Prospector and Basin. And just seems like after that disaster of a three-year-old debut, he definitely moved forward off of that. It's the type of race I could see him moving forward off of again.
How how do you see what roll through the pace in this, Ed? What do you see? How fast do you think they go?
I don't think we'll be jaws on the floor fast, but looking at what Nadal and Basin have both done sprinting, I just can't see, with them on the inside especially, I just can't see either one wanting to give up ground and getting sort of caught behind, because Silver Prospector and No Parole, I think, you know, both capable, obviously No Parole, but Silver Prospector was closer last time, and that seemed to benefit him. And then it'll be interesting with American Theorem on the outside. You just sort of chase in that American Pharoah, but I got to think he'll want to be somewhat close to stay out of the way of, you know, Coach Ba and Accession, the big, big long shots who are both going to be coming, you know, from behind. So I think with Nadal and Basin, especially with Basin being fresh and the pace ratings he was able to throw as a two-year-old sprinting, I see them on the front end and the targets.
Yeah, and you know, No Parole is certainly gonna wing. I guess Pereira's got to at least gain position with the American Theorem. Because between Three Technique and Silver Prospector, and of course it looks like we're dealing with a wet track too, eh? Rain there now. Yeah, you know, Hammer said, you know, when we talked this morning, it was raining. All right, I don't want anybody to go into this race and think that and I like Nadal, but this is hardly come in and swipe the satchel scenario. There's 1, 2, 3. Four, five. There's literally six of this eight that are within, you know, a couple of lengths each other on number power. This is really fun. I'm looking forward. It's 6:23, by the way, Eastern time, everybody, for the Rebel. All right, let's back up into the Azeri and the Essex and everything else.
Yep, the Azeri, I'm going to go with My Lady Curlin. I thought the Houston Ladies was an exciting race. Throw a blanket over the top four. She was fourth. Obviously, Lady Apple, Serengeti Empress, Street Pander are worthy adversaries, but I feel like they're close enough in talent that I'm kind of lean toward the longest price of the four. Certainly will be, you know, paying close attention to how the track's playing. With it being muddy, though, because if it looks like that's to a front runner's benefit, you know, I'd be foolish not to move Serengeti Empress up in that spot. But for now, just kind of it's a tough race, and I don't want to use all four because, you know, you're basically quadrupling, you know, with not a lot of upside. None of those four are going to be a great price, but I definitely know I want the longest of the four on my ticket.
All right.
And then in the Essex, which kicks off the all-graded stakes, pick three. I like Pioneer Spirit. Preston faded last time. But looking at the pace ratings of that race, actually got was faster late, so never stopped trying. I see that as a good sign for the next time out, which is here. 3-1, a little concerning. I'm hoping that's just kind of low. It feels low to me against this group. But I do like them in this spot.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I kind of came to the same conclusion.
So I got some turfway plays if we have time.
Absolutely, we got. You can close out the morning. Nick can't join us, so we lost Nick. I do want to mention. The Hurricane Birdie, and there's action at Laurel Four Stakes to note, too. But let's go. Let's talk Turfway.
Yeah. Well, the Jeff Ruby, interesting race with them attracting 12. Invader, to me, kind of similar to my comments on Pioneer Spirit, with the full field in here and definitely some other options. Hopefully they don't get too crazy betting this horse. They didn't last time when I thought he looked awesome at 5.4-1. In the Battaglia, and figures to probably try to work out a similar trip. He is a little further outside, but you have the longer run into the first turn with this being a mile and an eighth. He's by Warfront, Galileo, Marseille, so certainly no concern with the distance and probably best bred in this field for it. So, you know, a lot going in his direction. I think he has a good look to him. So, you know, maybe 2-1 would be my floor, but he's certainly the horse to beat. And since I am on the chalk, I'm giving a little bit of a look to Unthrottled. Calumet Farm has two horses in these points races this weekend. They're both 30-1 on the morning line. But I think Dallas shipping this one up, just seems like at a big, big price, the one I want underneath with Corey Lannery taking the mount. And the win on turf at Fairgrounds was at a mount and eighth. So, you know, that helps the concern. The pedigree I wasn't too sure about. The Yes It's True Stallion, the Big Beast, I have a valid appeal mare. But best race was going nine at Fairgrounds, albeit against maidens. But maybe this one sticks around for a piece at a big price.
I brought this horse up with Mike Battaglia for that reason. The mile and the eighth, first on turf, and then came back and obviously regressed a little bit. You do have to, I suppose, make a decision about Unthrottled. You know how adept he is on the dirt. You know, clearly the two turf races, you know, they seem better. They just seem, you know, he just seems like a turf horse long term, maybe. Or did he simply regress off the career best performance in the maiden win? It feels like there's something here, Ed. I had the same little tweak about him, and you know, he seems to have a style that plays well at Turfway, you know, mid pack or a little further back, and then come with a run. You know, that seems to play pretty well for picking up a piece. And like you say, he'll be a enormous price. So I like that. I mean, when we talk about this all the time, and we'll talk about it a lot more when we get, you know, to next week and you know, to the rest of the derbies and the other nine furlong races. But this is a dividing line. The horses that have been successful, you know, up to a mile and at a mile and a 16th, the ones that are going to ultimately be middle distance, they're not going to carry forward at a mile and an eighth. And so when you've got a chance that there's a horse that's already displayed some ability at nine furlongs, that's something to latch on to.
I like it. Yeah. You know, that big of a price, you know, you're gambling, but there just seems to be enough there to take a shot. So nice. In the Bourbonette, the preceding race, looking at Oxen Power, definitely going to have to close into some pace, which should be there. The two inside horses like to show speed, and then Laura's Light for Peter Miller shipping in off the admittedly pretty nice return turf sprinting, and now stretches back out. I expect to be a part of the Vanguard early as well. So 8-1. Undefeated horse, one on debut at a huge, huge price. Paolo kept that one under his hat, apparently, but I think this one has shown enough that at 8-1 may be able to run these down.
What else?
The Kentucky Cup is the race preceding the Bourbonette, and I thought Lanier was worth a look as a potential speed threat here. He's the only E-type in the Brisnet PPs, and not sure what happened in the forego. It was just never really competitive at 3-2, but then showed at least some signs of life. Just got beat by some like at Hop Round, was on the lead that day too. Again, this is a gamble, but I think at 15-1, this horse has shown an ability to maybe take them all the way, and is the lone E-type in here. You know, if some like at Hop Round doesn't fire, I think that could really benefit him at a big price.
All right, cool.
And then the Rush Away starts the All Stakes Pick 4, and I looked at number 7, Something Neutral, shortest, well, I guess Invaders 3-1-2, but Brad Cox brings this one up for Polytrack debut and Violence out of a Gilded Time Mare. Certainly don't mind that. Breeding for Trine Synth for the first time, and another one sort of talking about it with our bomb Unthrottled in the Ruby. But this horse's two best races were going longer, so slow taking the ride. Thought this one had a good look to it.
All Stakes Pick 4, excuse me, a Turfway starts with the 8, the Rush Away. Rush Away Kentucky Cup, and then the two points races for the girls and boys at Turfway Park. next time. Well, when's the target for the building? How long is the new building going to take to build?
I think they're thinking that my understanding is it won't be ready for the meet next year.
Okay.
They're doing the track, which will be taffeta, so that'll be set. Probably some permanent smaller structures, that you need for racing. But I think the grand opening is 2021-2022 season.
Nice. Well, it's too bad that people couldn't get a chance to say goodbye. It's
Yeah, no, I agree. It's that old school sort of, big city track vibe for sure.
I got to when I put up today's listing, I've got a picture with Latonia from Latonia, a wind picture that I was involved in, but that I picked up somewhere. I've got to go find that, and I'll take a picture of the picture so that I can put it up with today's listings. Ed, enjoy the weekend. It'll be a weird. I'm anxious to get some feedback as to what it was like, being there without patrons. Maybe a preview of things to come in weeks and a couple months ahead.
I'd say, yeah. No, I'm eager to see how it plays out.
Ed DeRosa, EJXD2, everybody at Oaklawn, and we'll catch up next week. And we will come to you Monday, either from right here at home, or from OBS. I will consult with the authorities. That being Tina. I don't know. I don't know where we stand right this minute. If we'll be with you from OBS on Monday or from here. But either way, we'll be with you, and we'll look forward to a fun day tomorrow and the weekend. I want to thank everybody. Hammer, Jeff Taylor, Mike Battaglia, Jay Pridman, Ed DeRosa, James Scully, Casey on the board for today, and everybody all week. Enjoy the weekend. Talk to you Monday.
Racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horseman, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.